Okay, so we've been on Sanctification Highway. How's everybody doing on the road so far? You doing all right? Anybody struggling a little bit on Sanctification Highway a little bit? Bob, you doing all right?
Sometimes.
Struggle a little bit sometimes?
Once in a while.
Yeah. Bob and I and Mark and Dave and Butch and some of others, we have a very good friend who oftentimes says to us, guys, you know, if it wasn't for people, I'd have no trouble.
Yeah.
How many agree with that?
Yeah.
How many know that your biggest problem are people? But chances are pretty good you don't get mad at dogs and cats and fish, you get mad at people, right? Well, in this world, you're going to be surrounded by who?
People.
That's right. And how many of you would be willing to admit that you're a problem sometimes too?
Oh, yeah.
How many of you know or would profess that you're somebody's obstacle?
Yeah.
How many would also profess that you're somebody's roadblock sometimes too?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go for it. How many know you're the reason somebody's praying sometimes? And I don't mean for health.
Yeah.
Something like, oh, sweet Jesus, let me get past this guy. Right? And so we're on the road, and unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we go astray. But we've been talking about Sanctification Highway. We've been saying you are moving towards the ultimate reality of what? Glorification. And glorification is defined as ultimately being like Christ. And so sometimes when people ask you, are you a Christian? Sometimes you can really kind of start a conversation by saying no. And they're going to freak out. What do you mean you're not a Christian? I say it all the time. Well, I'm trying hard to be one. I haven't reached it yet. Who here has not reached Christian yet? I haven't. I'm getting there. Anybody more than halfway? I'm more than halfway. Does anybody in this room be willing to say you take two steps forward and one step backwards sometimes? Okay, how many take one step forward and like two steps backwards? It's true, right? It's true. I'm counseling somebody. Okay, you don't know personally. I'm counseling somebody where I work, and this individual is going to school for the pastorate. And this particular person going to the school for the pastorate is not doing things that this person ought to be doing. And this person's convicted. And the person sought me out to counsel this person, to be a mentor, to try to figure out what the problem is. How many understand that when you decide to go into the ministry and God lays a calling on your life, there are some things you shouldn't be doing? How many agree with that? And when you're doing these things you shouldn't be doing, guess what? You get convicted. And guess what comes with conviction? Guilt. And guess what comes with guilt? Depression. And guess what comes with depression? Anxiety. And what comes with anxiety? Doubt. That's what happens, right? And sometimes you know what you just need to do? Stop doing what you're doing. And get back on the road. This particular person that I'm thinking about, you know, is on the seminary road with the left foot, but on the world's view on the right foot, you're not going anywhere that way. How many know you're not going? You're stuck. You're stuck. And so on Sanctification Highway, you got to stay the course. You got to stay the course. And we've been talking about the tools, and it's the fruit of the Spirit, and we've been talking about love and joy, and today is peace. Peace. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23, and we're going to see the tools that we need for Sanctification Highway.
But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things.
So you see, we talked about love, we talked about joy, and today we talk about peace. How many of you have a peaceful life? An absolute peaceful life. Colin has a peaceful life. How many have peaceful moments but not a peaceful life? I have many more peaceful moments recently. I have. I thank God for peaceful moments, right? How many have more peaceful moments than non-peaceful moments in your life? I do. But how many have sometimes, you know, it's not so peaceful? Did I call him? I mean, there are moments that, you know. But in those moments of no peace, according to the scriptures, is we have to have the peace all the more. And in the times when we have peaceful moments, chances are pretty good we have peaceful moments because there's nothing going on. How many agree with that statement? I mean, we're Sonny. Sonny goes golfing, or Bob goes golfing, or Mark goes golfing. They've never asked me to go golfing yet. I'm just saying. And they probably go golfing without me because they want a peaceful moment. I think I just found the reason. Mark, I just found the reason. Bob, I just found the reason.
There's no peace when I'm golfing.
Okay. There's a lot of four, four. And so, but you know, if they're on the golf course, chances are pretty good there's some peace. Right? Because when you're not thinking about the things you're normally thinking about, or surrounded by the things you're usually surrounded by, guess what you can be? At peace. Right? I mean, at peace. And a lot of us can have peace in those moments where there's nothing going on. Right? I mean, the fact is, some people like to escape the reality and go someplace else to find what? Peace. And unfortunately, some people go to substances of many kinds to escape the reality to be at what? Now, how many know that's foolhardy? That doesn't work, does it? That doesn't work. And the peace that we're going to talk about today is not peace away from reality, it's peace in your reality. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part. I know when Sissy and I were raising up on her kids, and you know, she had to deal with me, she found peace in the bathroom. How many women find peace in the bathroom? See how I noticed? Come on, you know, come on, right? You know? You can't find the mother, and you're looking all over the place, she's in the bathroom. I mean, there's a book in there. I know there's a book in there or something, right? Yeah. Peace. And there are people who go on vacation to find peace. Fact is, a lot of people told Sissy and I when we were going away down to Emerald, North Carolina, hey, get some rest. Seriously, that's what people say. Now look, go away and get some rest and get some peace. Oh, really? How many know vacation is not about resting, it's not about peacefulness?
Yeah.
It is not. How many need a vacation from the vacation? It's true, right? Can I get an amen, son? Yeah. And so, we don't find peace there. And with the peace we're talking about, it's not away from your reality. It's smack dab in a reality. And that's the difference. That's the difference. So we need to turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23.
Now may God of the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again.
Huh. The God of what? Peace. That doesn't say the drug of peace. It does not say the world of peace. It does not say the spouse of peace, the family of peace, the friends of peace. It says who? The God of peace. And so if you're trying to seek peace outside of a loving God, Abba, Father, Daddy, you're not going to be at peace. It's not. You may have a peaceful moment. You might even string a bunch of them together and have a peaceful day. But a peaceful life outside of God, not going to happen. And you know why it's not going to happen? No, I don't have the gift of prophecy. I don't have the gift of prophecy. Well, that's not entirely true. I have some gift of prophecy. If I don't do what Sissy tells me to do, I'm in trouble. So I have that prophetic word. But outside of that, I have this statement to make. Every one of you in this room, from this day moving forward, you are going to get a phone call you wish you did not get. You're going to get it. How many know? You're going to get the phone call you wish you didn't get. You're going to get one. You're going to get a diagnosis you wish you hadn't heard. But you're going to get one. You're going to have financial difficulties you didn't see coming. It's coming. You're going to have a moment that the world is going to say to you, you should not be at peace. You're going to have that moment. And maybe, quite possibly, there are people in the hearing of my words that are in that moment right now. How many's in that moment right now? And the question is, how many just got through a moment like that? How many know a moment's coming?
Yeah.
Coming to your house. It's coming to your house, right? You just got through some. It's coming. And the question is, what do you do when that comes? Go on vacation? Wait, that doesn't work. I'm struggling financially. I'm sick as a dog. My knees don't work anymore. Vacation's not an option. And you know what the option sometimes is? Couch. With the phone that's ringing off the wall. That's your reality. Sometimes you get a diagnosis that you don't want, and vacation is not an option because you need to be at the clinic on Monday morning at 8 o'clock to start your treatment. And guess what? You're not escaping your reality now. Come here with me on this. That's the reality. That's the reality. And the question is, do you have the God of peace? Now check it out, the God of peace. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be blameless. That's how you find peace. That's where your peace is. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6.
For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
We read that a lot at Christmas time, don't we? Well, it's okay to read it today, too. The very last part is what? Prince of Peace. If I want to find peace in my life, really, truly, I want to find peace in my life, I got some options. I can go to a physician and get some medication, and get it filled at the pharmacy, and take it as prescribed, and have peace until it wears off. How many are with me on this? And when it wears off, what do you got to do? Take more. Does that work? Maybe for the short term, but does that give you a life of peace?
No.
You know it doesn't, right? What's some other options for peace? What is it? If I want peace in my life, I should go to the one who gives the peace out.
Amen.
Shouldn't I? I mean, if I want to find peace in my life, I should go to the one that's in charge of all the peace. The Prince of Peace. Right? Fascinating in my line of work that I do, I'm dealing with people that are sick all the time. That's just what I do. And I told you before, there are people that will go to Oakland. Help me, Jesus. Why? I pray a lot when I have to go to Oakland. Oh, you got to fight that traffic. You got to find a place to park. Right? You got to take out a loan to pay the parking when you come out. Then you got to walk 100 miles uphill. How many's ever been in Oakland? How many of you know, do not under any circumstances park down there on Forbes Avenue or Fifth because you're walking up a hill. It's not a hill like this. It's a hill like what? You need a doctor by the time you get back to the top of that hill. And I thought walking up hard. How many walking down on a snowy day? Oh, help me, Lord. Because there's sometimes, if you're really coordinated, you can just stand at the top of the hill and go. And there are people that will do that and go sit in a doctor's office and wait for 2 hours to be seen and pay a co-payment of some kind, see them for about 20 minutes, get out of the doctor's office, walk up that hill, get in your car, get out of traffic, go home, go to the drugstore, get the prescription filled, but they can't get on their knees. What is with that? They can't get on their knees and ask the Prince of Peace for what? Peace. What is with that? What is with that? Does anybody see something wrong with that? You know, you call people forward all the time. Hey, why not? Why not go to the top? The Prince of Peace, right? The Prince of Peace. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. Acts chapter 10, verse 36.
This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all.
When you say there is no peace, when you say to me, my life is in shambles and I live in a tumultuous attitude every day of my life, there is no peace to be found. Scripture says what? There is peace with God through Jesus Christ. And so I'm letting you know today, church, you can't find that peace listening to me. I'm not going to do it. You can only find peace where? Through God, through Jesus Christ. You can't find this peace. Let me put it to you this way. This person that I'm now counseling, had an inpatient stay someplace. And this person that I'm counseling had secular counseling. And this person had asked the person in charge of this person's care, you know, this isn't working. This isn't working. Can I have a Christian counselor? That's what the person asks for, right? And they called me, of course, that makes sense. They called me, and I said to this person, no, wait a second, you said you want Christian counseling. Let me make sure I'm clear on that. Do you want a Christian who does counseling? Help me understand what I just told you. There are Christians who what? Do counseling. There are Christians who do, you know, behavior modification therapy. There are Christians who do all kinds of different therapy. They're Christians. I said, or do you want a Christian who does Christian counseling? Do you want a Christian who uses biblical counseling? Do you want a Christian that's going to tell you the truth? Amen. Is that what you want? I said, be careful what you ask for. And this person thought about this, said, well, I want a Christian who does biblical counseling. I said, okay, I'm your guy. And I already read the history, and I said, I'm going to help you in 5 minutes. Number one, quit doing what you're doing. You understand that? Your problem is not because you got dropped on your head when you were 2 months old. Your problem is not your problem because, you know, your mother ran away with the milkman. Your problem is you're doing what you are not supposed to be doing, and you ask the Lord into your life, and He is going to hold you accountable. It's that simple. Quit doing what you're doing. How many know that's good therapy, right? Yeah. Now, you need help, stop doing what you're doing. We'll have some more counseling sessions. But you know what? Stop it. Or get off the middle of the road. You said you wanted to go into the ministry. You told the Lord you wanted to go into the ministry. You accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. You told Him these things. And He thought you meant it. And because He thought you meant it, when you get off the narrow road and you start going on the wide road on Friday nights doing what you're doing, the Lord is going to slap around a little bit and get you back on the narrow road. How many of that's how it works? I said, you have a choice. Narrow road or wide road, but you have to choose. You cannot stand in the middle of the road. You can't do that. How many agree with me? Is that good counseling or what? And that's for all of you. You have no peace in your life, but you have Jesus Christ. We got a problem. You tell me, church, that you have Jesus Christ in your life. I know that you told me that. How many got Jesus Christ in your life? See how easy this is? And Jesus is the Prince of what?
Peace.
And there's peace found in who? And you got Him. Why are you not at peace? Well, let's go back to my counselee. I'm going to count you pretty quickly. Quit doing what? What you doing? Pastor Tom, it can't be that easy. Well, what do you want me to do? Give you cognitive behavioral therapy? I can do that. You want to spend like 6 months with me and I'll, you know, behavior modify you. I'll give you some exercise on how not to think the way you're thinking. I'll teach you how don't listen to your brain because your brain's a liar. I can teach you all that kind of stuff. I really can. Or I can simply tell you the truth. You want to know the truth? Who wants to know the truth? Quit doing what you're doing. Service is over, go in peace. No, it's not. John 14, 27. That was good, Carol, right?
I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid.
I love that. I love that. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and peace of heart. And I'm not going to give it to you as the world gives it. He said that, right? So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Listen, church, if you're not at peace, we got a problem. Either Jesus is a liar, or you're lying. I mean, there's only two ways to look at this. All right? Jesus said, I'm going to leave you with a gift. How many know when Jesus says something, he means it? How many know that Jesus is not an Indian give or take in return? When he gives it, guess what? He said, I'm going to leave you with a gift. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to give you a gift. And that gift is the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, the holy advocate. And he says, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you what? Peace of mind and peace of heart. Did he lie?
No.
Who's he giving that to? Everybody or those who call him Lord?
Huh?
How many call him Lord? But we got a problem. We got a problem. If you're not at peace of mind and peace of heart, and Jesus says, I'm going to give it to you, and you don't have it, we got a problem. Now, I'm not the smartest person here is. Pastor Colin probably beats me by a mile. We got a problem. If Jesus says, I give it to you, but I don't have it, what's the obvious answer, Pastor Colin?
I didn't take it.
So what should you do? Let's run this by you. Let me run this by you. So I don't have peace of mind, and I don't have peace of heart. Okay. And so I'm a Christian. I said I was. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I asked the Holy Spirit into my life, but yet I do not have peace of mind, and I do not have peace of heart. So therefore, I go to a counselor. And I spend a year in counseling. At $50 a pop, or what? Is it more than $50 a pop? I don't know.
Yes.
How many? Is it a lot more?
Oh, yeah.
How much more is it? I
don't know. It's like $300, $400 an hour.
Are you going still?
Oh, no.
Okay. And so what we got to say to ourselves, well, wait a second. If he gives me peace of mind and peace of heart, and he's the Prince of Peace, and there is no peace outside of God, and I'm not at peace, I will not be at peace in therapy. I have a moment of it. Now, I'm not saying counseling is bad. Nobody heard me say that, right? I did not say therapy is bad. You didn't hear me say that. But I said if you want peace, you ought to go to the top. Who's the top?
Christ.
Glenn? Christ. Christ. There are people who are in counseling for years. Did you know that? Not weeks.
Years.
Not even months. How long?
Years.
Is it working?
No.
I've had my share. Who here's ever had counseling? Look how many of us, right? And that's like universal, right? Again, one more time. Who's had counseling? Look at all of us in this room. It's 100%.
Yep.
I'm not embarrassed. Who had counseling? Who was given medication? It's universal. Yep. And I'm here to tell you from my own experience, especially with the second surgery I had the second time around, I found peace in Christ during. That was it. I didn't seek out the counselor. I sought out the Lord. And I said, Lord God, I know I believe in you, but Lord God, give me peace. I'm concerned about this abdominal surgery, and give me peace. And that was the peace. Because he's the what? The Prince of Peace. Does that make sense to you? Okay. John 16:33.
I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world.
Wow. I've told you all of this so you may have peace. Because here on earth, you're going to have trials and tribulation. Jesus Christ is not saying, I've told you all of this so that you may have peace because I'm going to eliminate all your trials and tribulation. Oh, contraire, that's not the way this works. He says, I gave you this, I told you this, I left you with this peace, that in your trials and tribulations be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You know what we need in this world? What we need in this church? There's a lot less succumbers than a whole bunch of overcomers.
Amen.
I'm serious. We don't need people succumbing to everything in life. We need to be a what? An overcomer in life. And that's what we need to be. Are we going to have trouble? Yes. How many's ever had trouble? It's universal. That's not universal. You know, sometimes you think, I'm the only one in the world going through this. Well, at the time, it may appear like you're the only one going through this. But is that the truth?
No.
No. That's a lie. Who goes through trouble? We all do. Everybody does. Nobody's picking on you. And if you think that God's zapping you, how many of you would be zapped by now? If God zapped you for all the things you did wrong, how many would be like a French fry by now? Not the way it works. We live in a world where trouble and trials come because the world is sinful. We all want to live in a perfect place. We want to live where kids don't get cancer. We want to live in a place that everybody has a fruitful existence. But we don't live in that place. We live in a fallen world. How many understand that? And we will never be in a perfect place this side of heaven. But can you be at peace in this world?
Sure.
Yes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Romans 5, 1 to 11. We're not going to read all of that, I'm sure. We'll read verse 5.
Therefore, since we have been made right in Christ's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us.
Okay, there are three areas we're going to talk about on Wednesday night. This is the first one. There are three areas you need to find peace with. We're going to discuss in great detail on Wednesday night. This is the first one. Peace with who? God. Peace with God. There are a lot of people that think God's out to get you. Lots. I talk to them routinely. I have been this bad person all of my life. There is no way that I can find peace with God. Now, I need to tell you, I'm just going to plant the little seed for Wednesday night, okay? Then what you are saying is, Jesus died for you unnecessarily. How can you even say it? I am such a bad person. The things I've done in my life are so bad. There is no way that I ever could be forgiven by the Lord. And you're saying to me, then Jesus went to the cross and he died needlessly for you. How can you even make that statement? Is Jesus proficient enough to save you?
Yes.
Jesus is the Lamb of God who what? Take away what sins? All of them. And the moment you say, well, not mine, then Jesus went to the cross needlessly for you. Would God the Father, who said, I loved you so much, I sent my son to die for you, do that needlessly? How does it make any sense? And so the first thing you need to have peace with is who?
God.
We'll talk about that Wednesday night. Second, you have to feel at peace with, we'll read it.
For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility and separated us.
So the first one is peace with God. The next one is peace with who? Others. That's a big deal. I mean, I can be at peace with people who like me. I can be at peace with people who agree with me. Because they agree with me, they're pretty smart. Right? I can agree with people who look like me. I can agree with people who worship with me. I can be at peace with a lot of people. But there are a lot of people I'm not at peace with. I'm not at peace with people who think differently than me. I'm not at peace with people who worship differently than me. I may not be at peace with people who vote differently than me. I may not be at peace with people who look differently than me. I may not be at peace with people who have a lot less than I have. Help me understand what I'm saying to you. That's the problem. That's the problem. And if we say we're at peace with everybody, that's a problem. Why is that a problem? Because you're not. You may think you are, but you're not. How many of us would profess right now you're not at peace with everybody? Not everybody. You want me to give you a taste of that? Go during the election process of any senator, representative, or president. And have a conversation with somebody. If they're not like-minded, you think they're going to be at peace with you? You think you'll be at peace with them? And this is what the part you have to understand, right? Just take that one concept. Take that one concept. This political, and I want to be apolitical. What's that mean? What's apolitical mean? Principal, you know what that means? But I'm not talking about being either. That last year's nomination. Whoa, what a contentious thing that was, right? There are people getting shot. There are people getting bricks through windows.
Yeah.
Right? And truly, as I say to you, again, I'm what today? Apolitical. If I say to you, President Trump, oh my God, I can't believe it, the world's coming to an end. And for some of us, Hillary Clinton, oh sweet Jesus, not her. But the reality is, who's in charge? God! Do you think that it really matters who's in that Oval Office? Do you really think, if you think that person's in charge, that's why you have no peace? Who's in charge? God. Do you think that God's in heaven going, oh, I didn't see that coming. What am I going to do now?
I've already written in the book.
Say it again, sister.
It's already written in the book.
It's already written in the book. Whatever's happening, it's happening, whoever's in that room. Anybody agree with that? Glenn, right? It don't matter who's in that Oval Office. Things are going to work out the way God has designed them to work out since the beginning of the ages. Do we agree? It's true. It's true. And so, if you get all riled up because stuff like that, you're not at peace. You're not at peace. We need at peace with who? Others. Others. And the final piece of the puzzle, we find in Philippians 4:7.
Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
So that's peace with who?
Self.
Yourself. Peace with yourself. And this is what we call a what? Pastor Colin does it for us on a Sunday. It's called a what? Benediction. Right? The good word. Will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. How many of you have a CD player of a mind that works about you all the time? I mean, just talks about you often, right? How many have a mind that just constantly beats yourself up? Anybody got a mind that beats yourself up? I mean, what? Well, you're not at peace with yourself. You're not at peace with yourself. You ever wish you were somebody else?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, can I get an amen?
Huh?
Can I get an amen?
Yeah, amen to that.
Okay, how many of you ever wished you were somebody else? Let's see, who? One person. Okay, one more time. Who I wish you were somebody else? Okay, so if you wish you were somebody else, could you be at peace with yourself?
No.
No. No. Anybody love yourself in this room? I think I'm the slickest, bestest person in the whole world. I think God loves me best. I think he has my picture on his refrigerator door. I think he carries my picture in his wallet. Now I know what you're thinking. Well, you just stuck up, aren't you? No. No. I think I'm loved. And I think I'm loved irregardless of who I am. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for this worthless person because he said you're worth it. That's what I believe. And I believe I screw up. I believe I mess up. I believe I forget things. I truly, truly, truly. I'm going to tell you something, but you can't tell nobody. It's a secret, right? It's a secret. I dropped Sissy off at the Walmart. I went to Home Depot. I was supposed to go back and get her. I forgot. She doesn't know. I was halfway down Black Hawk. I went, I'm forgetting something. I know I'm forgetting something. Oh my gosh. I got an ice water on the way there. How many are that forgetful? I mess up. I make mistakes. I'm forgetful. I'm a physical wreck sometimes with all the surgery I have to have. But I still know God loves me. And I don't want to be anybody else. I'm content being me. I love me. I do. I love me. And you know why I love me? Because God created me. And he created me special in my mother's womb. With all of my shortcomings, he still created me. And he has never, not one time, messed up anything he created. Not one time. How many agree with that? How many love yourself? Mary, tall Mary. Tall Mary. You don't love yourself? Well, I have enough love for you. Because I love you. How many love tall Mary? And so, if you don't have peace with yourself, how long are you going to be stuck with yourself? You see, counseling's really easy. It really truly is. Right? If you don't have peace with yourself, but yet you're stuck with yourself until you die, when will you have peace? Never. Mary, let me tell you a secret about you. You were beautifully and wonderfully made. In your mother's womb, God created you. And nobody in all of heaven could see you but God. And God called all the angels. He said, look at this one. Will you look at the way she smiles? You look at the color of her eyes. Oh, she is so adorable. I think I'm going to have her mother call her Mary. And she's going to be special. And she's going to make a lot of people happy. Well, she's not going to be perfect because nobody's perfect. She'll make some mistakes because everybody makes mistakes. But one of the greatest things she's going to do is have a son. And she's going to bring him to church. And when God looks down upon you, he says, well done. Thy good and thy faithful servant. Well done. Amen. But now that's what I believe. How many believe that too? Amen. You're special, Mary. I'm glad to know you. You're welcome. And so, we need to be at peace. And we need to be at peace, the peace that God gives us. The peace God gives us. If you're looking for peace in the world, guess what, Butch? If the only way you're going to get peace is this, the Steelers beat the Bears. You got a 50-50 shot, don't you? How many know what I just told you? If at around 4:30, you're throwing things at the TV. Did you know they make a brick that's made out of foam rubber? How many have that brick made out of foam? Jenny! You make them. Oh, so if you want a brick to throw, see Jenny. Now let's get this right? Let's think this through. Sue makes prayer quilts. She makes bricks. Now, both could be good. Both could be good, right? At the end of the season, if the Steelers lose every game going forward, we're going to need a prayer quilt. But during the game, we need a brick. All right. On Wednesday night, At 7 o'clock, I'm going to open this up. Peace. And hopefully when you leave after that's over, you'll find some peace, okay? Just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the hearing of these words. Help us to understand, Lord God, that you have come into this world so that we may have joy. How much joy? Full and overflowing. You've come to this world so that we may have peace. What kind of peace, Lord God? Peace that surpasses understanding. Do we have that in this room? Do we have that? Do we have love for everybody, even our enemies? Do we have joy that's overflowing? Do we have the peace of God that surpasses understanding? Well, you gave it to us. Now we have to practice it, because practice makes permanent. And all of God's people said,